In the providence of God, on this occasion when baptism was administered, we are up to Lord's Day 26 in the Heidelberg Catechism. So we'll consider Lord's Day 26 and the first two questions and answers of Lord's Day 27 this morning. And you may know we'll reserve question and answer 74 for a few weeks from now when baptism will be administered again. But this morning, Lord's Day 26, questions and answers 69 through 73. And in connection with that, we read this morning from Holy Scripture, Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. You'll notice that in verses 15 and 16 is the institution of baptism by Jesus Christ. Mark 16. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. It's on the basis of that passage and the whole of Scripture that we consider the instruction of questions and answers 69 through 73. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit, from all the pollution of my soul. That is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. What is it to be washed with the blood and Spirit of Christ? It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which He shed for us by His sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and blameable and unblameable lives. Where has Christ promised us that He will as certainly wash us by His blood and Spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." This promise is also repeated where Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Not at all. For the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ only, and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. Why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and Spirit of Jesus Christ, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign, He may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord's Day 25 taught us that God has instituted two sacraments for use in the church, and those two sacraments are holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. And in Lord's Day 25, we saw that these two sacraments have much in common. They are very similar to each other. Both sacraments are ceremonies that use earthly visible elements. Baptism uses, as we saw this morning, the earthly element of water, and the Lord's Supper uses the earthly elements of bread and wine. And in both sacraments, these earthly elements point to the gospel, to salvation from sin through the cross of Jesus Christ. In question 66, and the answer, we are taught that God uses the sacraments to more fully declare and seal unto us the promise of the gospel, namely that He grants freely the remission of sins and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. And we're told there in Lord's Day 25 that through the preaching of the Word, which is always connected to the sacraments, through the preaching of the Word and the sacraments, God directs our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation. And so, this is the significance of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Every time these sacraments are administered, those who are in the congregation, who are partaking of or witnessing the sacraments, need to exercise faith and hear God speaking
God saying, look to the cross of my Son, Jesus Christ. Look to His death as the only ground for the forgiveness of sins. But you recall that we saw that the sacraments not only declare the gospel, but that they are means of faith or means of grace. That they are means that God uses to give us grace, to work grace and to give us spiritual power. And the power that is at work in baptism and the power that is at work in the Lord's Supper is not to be found in the elements, that is, in the water or in the bread and the wine, but the power is the Holy Spirit. The sacraments are not empty ceremonies. What we witnessed this morning when water was applied to the infants of the parents here this morning was not an empty ceremony, but a powerful ceremony. And the power at work was the power of the Holy Spirit, who uses the sacraments to work grace. And so the two sacraments have much in common, but it stands to reason that they are also different. And so it is worth our while that the Heidelberg Catechism takes us briefly through each sacrament individually, and we begin this morning with the sacrament of baptism. A sacrament that God ordained to declare the gospel to you. When you witnessed the sacrament this morning, did you hear God speak to you the gospel of Jesus Christ? And not only that, a sacrament that God has ordained in order to give you spiritual grace and spiritual blessings. The sacrament of baptism may not have been applied to you this morning. It was only applied to the two infants. But if you exercised your faith as the water was sprinkled upon those two infants, God the Holy Spirit used that sacrament as a means to strengthen and to nourish you spiritually. Now that we may understand that more fully, let's consider this Lord's Day this morning under the theme, the sacrament of baptism. Let's notice in the first place the gospel significance of this sacrament. Let us notice in the second place the spiritual power at work in this sacrament. And then thirdly, its daily application. And let me just say there about that third point. Baptism is administered once. We're not Anabaptists. We don't believe in rebaptism. It's administered once. And many of us don't remember when it was administered to us. Yet, this is important for us. It's of lifelong daily significance. We begin with the gospel significance of the sacrament of baptism. Baptism was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 28 and also in Mark 16, in order to give us visible signs of invisible spiritual realities. Baptism was instituted in order to point us through the visible sign of water to the blood of Jesus Christ. In baptism, we see something with our eyes. That was driven home to me when, during my seminary years, I was a member here at Faith, and the pastor during my first couple of years here at Faith was Reverend Cole. And maybe you all remember that. When he administered baptism, it looked like Reverend Cole was dousing the infants. And I remember it was maybe me or someone else asking, what was the reason for that? And his explanation was the congregation ought to see that visible sign. In this large sanctuary, where some are seated well away from the pulpit, Reverend Cole wanted to give opportunity to see the water. Here's a visible sign instituted by Jesus Christ so that it would be seen. And the Catechism speaks of that here when it speaks in several places of, for example, in answer to question 69, the external washing with water. There's the visible sign. And the Catechism points out that the significance of that water, and this is what we need to think about when we see the water. Don't think about water that you drink. Jesus speaks of living water that is refreshing for the soul, and that would refer then and make us think of water that we drink. But here, think of water that you used for washing, for cleansing the filth from the body. When our bodies are dirty, our hands, what do? We run water over them. Or when our bodies are dirty, take a bath or a shower to wash away the filth of the body with water. This then is what we are to think of when baptism is administered. When the water is sprinkled on the forehead of the infant, we ought to be thinking that water signifies the washing away of dirt. Dirt is washed away by water. And we are to think of that infant then as dirty and in need of washing. But here's the point. Even though we are witnessing that water applied to someone else, we need to be applying that to ourselves. God is speaking to me when baptism is administered, saying to me, I'm dirty. I need to be washed. And of course, the water we see in baptism points to something we don't see, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. And the first thing that we need to think of then when we see the water is Christ's blood, and then the filth of sin. Dirt makes our bodies filthy. That's what the Catechism is pointing to us this morning. And just as dirt makes our bodies filthy, we ought to think this, so sin pollutes our souls. Makes us spiritually filthy before God. At baptism, we need to think of our sins. We are reminded at baptism that our children are born dead in sin. The mothers do their best to make sure that they present the children for baptism clean and spotless physically, dressing them usually in brilliantly white baptism clothes. But we're reminded that although our children don't understand these things, they are partakers in condemnation in Adam, subject to all miseries, yea, unto condemnation itself. And in the first question that the parents answer, they are asked this. Not only do they understand that their children are sanctified in Christ, that's beautiful, but also that they are conceived and born dead in sin. The whole human race has fallen in Adam. We and our children. And that means that at baptism we must make that important confession every single time the sacrament is administered. A confession of our sin, of our spiritual guilt and filthiness before God, and our need for washing in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the beautiful gospel that is declared in baptism. It points to, Catechism tells us here in answer to question 70, the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which He shed on the cross. When we see the water, we need to think of the blood of Jesus Christ, then we need to think of the death of Jesus Christ. That's what blood signifies. Death. As the just punishment for sin. The shedding of blood. Jesus died a bloody death. And the blood that He shed on the cross, the sign of baptism points to this. That's the power that washes away the stain of sin. And there's the good news. The gospel of free grace through Jesus Christ. It is declared to us very plainly at baptism that we are sinners, that we cannot deliver ourselves from sin, that our children are sinners, that we can't deliver them from sin. And then baptism comes along and says, and here's the good news. God has promised, and He's fulfilled that promise in Jesus Christ, to wash away all your sins through the blood of His Son. Cleanse from sin. But then do you see the further significance of that? When we speak of baptism, we often speak of it, don't we? As a sign of the covenant. And do you know what that means? The covenant? The covenant which is friendship and fellowship with God. This is what the forgiveness of sins gives us the right to have. The enjoyment of being incorporated into God's fellowship and friendship. We are told in Scripture that God will not have friendship with the world, or with anyone who is a friend of the world. And baptism signifies to us that we and our children by nature are exactly that. We belong to the world. We are friends with the world. We are friends with the devil. We have made him our ally as we stand under the first Adam in rebellion against God. But then God signifies in baptism that He has changed all of that. That He has fulfilled what He promised to do in Genesis 3 verse 15. When He was speaking to the devil who now has these new allies, Adam and Eve, and says to him, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to create enmity between the seed of this woman and you, Satan. That is, I'm going to put an end to that friendship that you have. I'm going to deliver them from that friendship they have with you. And I'm going to thereby make them my friends. By nature, we and our children, we are of the world. Friends of the devil. And baptism signifies that God has done this. Separated us from the world. And said, now you're mine. Because my Son has washed you in His blood. Another way to say this, and this is what the Lord's Day in question and answer 70 emphasizes, is that we're saved from sin and become members of Jesus Christ. We're sanctified. Sanctified to be members of Christ. That's the answer to question 70. This is what we're told in the baptism form. Our children are conceived and born in sin, but sanctified, saved from the world and sin to be members in Jesus Christ. And this means not only that He has paid for our sins, delivering us from the guilt of our sins, but this means that He has made us His own. This means that we can say in Lord's Day 1, we belong to Him. That we are His property. We are His responsibility to care for us and preserve us so that not a hair can fall from our head except for the will of His Father and our Father. And then as we read that very beautiful truth in the form for baptism, God will, for the sake of Jesus Christ who owns us, avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And so baptism signifies we need to think of all of these things when we see the sacrament administered. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, delivered from sin and from fellowship with the world, and included in the family of God and made a member of Christ Jesus under His care. And then we need to go further and say it means that we belong to His kingdom, to His church. It's what baptism, the water of baptism, signifies. It's a mark. It's a distinguishing mark upon us and our children of admittance into the church, into the family of God. We didn't read that this morning, but it's in this connection that we can notice what is said in answer to question 74. This is true for the children and for all of those who are baptized, that they're admitted into the Christian church and distinguished from unbelievers. The answer says the children of unbelievers. It's true of the children, but true of everyone. This is what baptism signifies, that you're different from unbelievers and that you are a member of Christ and His church. His church, the body of His people. We ought to see that. This was very plain when Jesus said in Mark 16 that you go forth and you baptize, and those who believe, they're saved. They're distinguished from those who don't believe and who perish. This is what we must think of when that sign is applied to our children. These children are marked as God's children. They're His. Not only ours, but His. And certainly, certainly not the world's. They are God's children. And we ought to think of our own baptisms. When baptism is administered, and say this to ourselves: I received that mark. And that mark tells me again this morning, I don't belong to the world. I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. In addition to this, baptism is a sign of the work of the Holy Spirit. We read here of the washing away of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, but also of the work of the Holy Spirit. In answer to question 70, we're told that our sins are forgiven freely for the sake of Christ's blood, but we're also renewed by the Holy Ghost. And then we're also told in answer to question 72, the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost cleanses us from all sin. And then there's the language of the washing of regeneration. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. When baptism is administered, we need to see that water, see the blood of Jesus Christ, see the washing away of sins, see the fact that we're incorporated into God's family and covenant by the Holy Spirit in the work of regeneration. To be part of the kingdom of God, we know the Scriptures teach us we need to be born again. Legally, by nature, we belong to and are part of the kingdom of darkness. And the only way to be translated out of that kingdom of darkness is to be born again, spiritually. And that's something that we and our children cannot do for ourselves. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does this, applying to us the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, giving to us the right to become citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and then giving to us new life by which we actually become citizens of that kingdom. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, baptism is a powerful sacrament. There is a power operating through the sacrament of baptism. The Catechism wants us to understand that the power in the sacrament of baptism is not the water itself. That might not seem to you like a very important point necessary for us in the church today. It was necessary in that day. The Roman Catholic Church had this understanding of baptism, that the water itself was the power to wash away sins and to incorporate people into the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, the Catechism does away with that teaching. Is the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Not at all. The water, and the children may need to be reminded of this, and we do well to teach them that. The water is ordinary water. When the janitor, usually if the janitor puts water into the baptismal font, he doesn't look for any special, powerful water. He probably goes to an ordinary faucet, maybe in the kitchen, to put water into the bowl. And when the lid is taken off of the baptismal font by me or by the minister in the Reformed Church, there is no ceremony, no phrase spoken over the water, nothing that is done to try to put some magical property or some power into that water as is done in the Roman Catholic Church. No. In the sacrament of baptism, it's only ordinary water that is used. Water that can wash away dirt, but water that has no power whatsoever to wash away sin. No, the Catechism is very definite here. The blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. Now that's important for us to state, not only against the Roman Catholic false teaching of baptismal regeneration, but also over against the view that is prevalent in many Reformed and Presbyterian churches that somehow God does give grace and show mercy to everyone who is baptized. And when you look into such a view and you say, God makes His covenant with every child or every adult who is baptized, He promises grace and mercy to everyone who is baptized. When you examine such a teaching, you come to find that that must mean that somehow the water itself has some power, some spiritual power. And this is indeed the teaching of some today. What is it that makes one a member of the church? The water of baptism. What is it that assures someone or makes someone know that they have their sins forgiven? It's the water of baptism. But you need to understand this morning that that makes the ceremony a purely external ceremony and strips it from all of its spiritual power and grace. And God does not encourage externalism in His church. He abominates externalism. The kind of thinking in the Old Testament among Israel that said, all that I need to know is that I have been circumcised. All I need to know is that I've had some piece of flesh cut away. and that I know that I belong to God and that I am one of His children. God hated that thinking. God hates the thinking today too that says, all I need to know is that I have received the sign, that water sprinkled on my head to know that I belong to God. What that involves is a denial of the need to actually believe in Jesus Christ, to actually humbly confess sin, in the need to have sin washed away, the need to look to the blood and to the Spirit. No, the water of baptism does not wash away sins. And this explains why there are some adults, but also some children who receive the sign of baptism who are not saved. Because, it must be said, when they show later on in their rejection of Jesus Christ, through their confession and through their walk in ungodliness, it needs to be said, the only thing that happened to them at that time was that they received the washing with water, but they didn't receive washing with the blood, with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Don't put your faith in the water, but look to the blood of the cross and to the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then you see that this ceremony is not an empty ceremony. We must not think here that baptism is simply a declaration of what God has done through Jesus Christ and that there's no power at work in baptism. We know that it's a powerful ceremony, first of all for this reason. It was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we love baptism and the Lord's Supper, because these ceremonies instituted by God through Jesus Christ are powerful ceremonies. God does not institute empty ceremonies for His church to observe. This is true of every man-made ceremony. Every man-made ceremony is empty. Not only is there no grace to be found, no operation of God's mercy and grace in man-made ceremonies, God withdraws His grace, and through man-made ceremonies, God sends judgment. It's the answer to the question that maybe the children or young people will ask. Why don't we institute ceremonies that we hear of or see of in other churches? Why do we have only these ceremonies? Why do we worship God only this way? And the answer is because we worship God only the way that He commands us to worship Him, with this confidence that whenever we worship God the way He commands us to worship Him, in that way, God gives His blessing and His grace. So baptism is a means of grace used powerfully in connection with the preaching of the gospel by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ to strengthen, to confirm, to nourish our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now perhaps we think of that often or all the time in connection with the Lord's Supper, but not often in connection with the administration of baptism. Do you sometimes think that that sacrament is only of significance to the infants and to the parents of the infants to whom the sacrament or the sign is applied? The Lord's Supper, we know, we partake of that, especially all of those who have made confession of faith, and we're told when we're preparing for coming to the table of the Lord, that that sacrament is a sign that Jesus Christ, by His body and blood, will strengthen our faith. But then maybe we forget at baptism. Then too, I need to exercise my faith and think about what that baptism means to me. That was once for all of my life applied to me. And our childlike faith is built up through baptism. We need to grow in faith. We need to mature so that we not only are able to digest the sincere milk of the Word, but so that we're able to understand and to digest the meat of the truth of God's Word. But God knows us. He knows us, and we have to see this as we go through the sacraments. He knows how we need the gospel to be communicated to us very simply, in a way that we and our children can understand. And so He comes with the visible signs of sacraments, the visible sign of baptism. And He teaches you, if you exercise faith, every time the sacrament is administered, this is you. And the Holy Spirit applies this to your heart and to your mind. You're a guilty sinner. You cannot save yourself. But you have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, which He shed on the cross. You have been regenerated. You have been given life and citizenship in the kingdom of God and brought by God into His fellowship. Now that truth needs to be applied every single day. It doesn't matter if you were baptized 80 or 90 years ago, or 30 or 40 or 10. When God placed that mark upon you, He delivered you from the world and sin and brought you into His church. So that when you struggle with the guilt of sin, and maybe we don't do this, I know I don't do this as often as I should, we may think, for the assurance of our salvation, of our baptism. Martin Luther often did this. I profited from reading his thoughts on the sacrament of baptism and what it meant to him. We all know that Martin Luther struggled with the knowledge of his sin and guilt, and with the assurance that his sin was taken away and forgiven. And when he struggled with that assurance, he'd often do this. He would think about baptism. I've received the sign of baptism. And then he didn't put his trust in the water to wash away his sins, but he listened to what God had to say about the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said what the Catechism says here. I am as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. So there it is. There that assurance is available for you every day as you struggle with sin. Look at your baptism in the blood and the Spirit of Christ. And then use baptism also for your sanctification. Baptism is your mark. Or another way to think of it is this way. It's your banner. It's the flag under which you march. Remember that. Remember that every day of your life, God has said in baptism, you don't march under the banner of the devil anymore. You don't belong to his kingdom of darkness anymore. You are now obliged to a new life, a life of obedience. Sanctified as a member of Jesus Christ, you are a Christian soldier, marching under His banner. Yes, apply that to your children. Apply these things to them. Teach them every day the truth that they are sinners, and that they are washed and saved only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And assure them they won't know about this day, but tell them about this day. Christ put His mark upon you, not only water, but His blood and His Spirit. And then tell them, you belong to Him. You belong to Him. You don't serve yourself. You don't live as the world lives. You live for King Jesus. Apply that to the children. And, beloved, let us apply that to ourselves. Not only when baptism is administered, but every single day of our lives. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou art pleased to communicate the gospel to us in such simple terms, so that we may be reminded of the principles of our faith, so that we may be strengthened in that faith and built up as children and young people and adults, and assured that we are certainly washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, know, it's really not that difficult. Know how we are to live as citizens of Thy kingdom for the glory of Thy name and the glory of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.